through most of these chapters, or most of the readings that we go through, they start off specifically. It keeps repeating these words, either for this reason or therefore. What does that signify? Well, you better read what comes before it. Paul continues to emphasize what it means for us to be connected and means for us to take care of each other. Just before our reading today from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, there's this amazing verse in verse 8 where it says, "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable," I can't even say that word, that the one where you have to calculate it a lot, "riches of Christ, and to shed light for all about giving the mystery of, about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." We get to tell people who don't know yet about the things that we still are in awe of. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth gets their name. I pray that out of these glorious riches, this wealth that God has, that He might strengthen you with power, not with fear, strengthen you every day as you breathe in with power through His Spirit," notice that again, "in your inner being, even though the outer parts waste away, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Oh, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you might still have this power, you might have more power than you can imagine, even in the midst of these days, together with all of the Lord's holy people, whether they be people you know, whether they be Catholics or Pentecostals, or even our neighbors up the street who do not yet know, to grasp how high, how wide and deep is the love of Jesus Christ. And to know, not just to guess, not just to hope, but to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Now here's a blessing for you. "Now to Him who is able to immeasurably do more than all we ask and even dream up, even imagine, according to His power that's at work within us." Can you read this one with me? "To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen."
No. Amen. Amen. Rolly, I can't wait to hear this amen today. Can I pray for you?
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Rolly and the word that he brings to us, praying for the family as all of us gather together as brothers, sisters, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents. Be with him in his peace. Give him power that passes all understanding, and help us to recognize your power in his message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, set apart to pray for loved ones. I'm going to start with a movie reference today. And the movie is My Best Friend's Wedding, and starring Julia Roberts. And there's this scene in the wedding, scene in the movie, where the whole wedding party are dining at a crowded seafood restaurant. And one of the friends, George, starts singing the opening lines of a classic song. "The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup." What's the next line? "I say a little prayer for you." And as George finishes the first verse and goes into the second verse, other people of the wedding party start chipping in lines. And when you get to the end of the song, the whole restaurant is clapping and singing along with them. It's a fantastic scene. Friends, I wonder, when you say a little prayer for those you love, what do you ask God to give them? Or what do you ask God to do for them? Maybe when they're traveling, Lord, please watch over their coming and going and protect them from all danger. Or when they're sick, oh, Father, please relieve their pain and bring healing to them in Jesus' name. Or when they're starting at a new school or a new job or perhaps at a new church, oh, Father, give them favor. Give them favor and success and help them to find some good friends. Or when they're stressed out with relationship issues and maybe have to make some hard decisions, Father, please give them understanding and wisdom as you walk with them through this. Hands up if you've prayed any of those sorts of prayers for loved ones. Yeah. The Apostle Paul was like a spiritual father to the Christians in Ephesus. He'd spent 3 years there declaring the good news of Jesus and to both Jews and Gentiles. And as a result, people left behind their former beliefs and faiths and actually got on this journey together with Jesus as his followers. In his letter, Paul reminds his friends in Ephesus of who they are in Jesus, their identity as God's loved and chosen and set apart people. And he wants them to be a light in this culture in Ephesus, which is full of darkness. You know, the darkness of ignorance and idolatry, sorcery and superstition. Paul says, I want you Christians to stand out and be a light into that culture. And a few times in his letter, Paul tells his friends that he's praying for them, but he also tells them what he is praying for. For example, in chapter 1, I'm going to read a verse from there. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I want the Holy Spirit to work in you so you know God's love for you and his character gets to infuse in you, and that you may know him better, that you may walk in a tight relationship with the God who created you and loves you forever. You see, when you hear this good news, the barriers of our defiance and indifference come crumbling down, and we reach a new awareness of God's love. We get to realize that we're part of a bigger story than our own. We get to be part of God's story. A story that has a hope and a future. In today's reading from Ephesians 3, Paul shares another one of his little prayers, asking for God's power and love and spiritual maturity for his readers. So we're going to unpack that. So first, Paul makes it clear who he is addressing in his prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He says he kneels. Interesting, because in Jewish prayers, they often either kneel or they stand to pray. But let me ask you a question. When you kneel before, say, a king or a queen, what is that gesture saying? Why do we do that? Why do people do that? To humble themselves? To pay respect? To indicate maybe submission to their rule? Or, after a battle, to surrender and pay allegiance? Yes? Friends, when we kneel to pray before God, we are showing our respect and worship for the King of all creation. We acknowledge our dependence on him, and we are yielding to his rule and giving him our allegiance. While all living things in heaven and on earth owe their entire existence to Father God, friends, it's only his holy angels and his holy and chosen people that do this willingly and joyfully. Amen? That's the posture, that's the heart and the attitude we bring before our Maker. And then Paul prays two things for his loved ones. The first one is this: Paul prays for God to strengthen his people. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, that's God the Father, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Greek word power there is dynamai, from which we get our English word dynamite. Is there power in dynamite? You bet, because things always change after you use it, yes? Kaboom. But here Paul is referring to the power of God that enables us to do things we cannot do on our own strength. Not possible for us, in order that we can carry out his will in the world. In the Old Testament, God strengthened a whole bunch of people by his Spirit to do his work, his will. You think about Joseph. What did God do for Joseph? What gift did Joseph have? Okay, he could interpret dreams that no one else could interpret, and Joseph acknowledged it was a gift from God. God gave him favor and resilience in spite of what his brothers did to him. What about Moses? Did Moses do some works of power? Absolutely. Moses' words were God's words to Pharaoh and to the people of Israel. And when Moses raised his staff and declared those words, bang, power happened, yes? The Spirit of the Lord came on Israel's judges to defeat their enemies. You think about Gideon, Samson, super strength given to him by the Spirit of God. By the anointing of the Spirit, David conquered Goliath, the giant, and won many battles. The Spirit of God revealed God's messages to the prophets, who announced them and wrote them down. And the Spirit of God enacted those words and brought them to pass. Yes? Friends, let me ask you, can you think of a time when you were strengthened by the Holy Spirit in your inner being? Perhaps at some point you've had conversations with someone who's walking close with Jesus, and you found you were loved, accepted, encouraged, blessed. And when you left their company, you felt there was fresh wind in your sails. That's the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe at a worship service or at a camp or at a spiritual retreat, you heard a message that touched your heart and changed the direction of your life. And there was a sense of clarity and God's hand in it. Friends, that's the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps at some point you were sharing a struggle with a friend, or perhaps a small group, and someone said, "Can we pray with you?" And as they prayed with you, you felt God's peace coming inside you, and you felt renewed strength and hope to go on with your journey, knowing that God was a bit more in control than you thought he was. That's the Holy Spirit. Now notice, in all these settings, this mostly happens when we are connecting with other saints, people who are doing life with God. Because it's probably not going to happen with people who don't want anything to do with God, is it? So that's what's really important, that we keep coming together so we can encourage each other in the good things of God. A friend, another pastor and I were once at an Alpha retreat, and we were really struggling to keep going in ministry, both of us. Sometimes you just hit the wall. And we just sort of said, well, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for a fresh filling of the Spirit. Let me tell you that I didn't feel a surge of power come inside me. I didn't really feel anything at all, just a sense of God would do whatever he wanted to do. However, as I went back to work, there was a renewed energy and enthusiasm in ministry for the next few months that filled me with renewed joy and vigor. That's the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you that my friend and I are both in ministry 15 to 20 years later. Did God answer that prayer? Yes. Strengthened by His Spirit. So my question to you is, well, why does Paul pray for his friends, including us, to be strengthened through the Holy Spirit in our inner being? Why does Paul pray that? He tells us in the next part of the sentence, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The indwelling of Christ in you. The word for indwelling there, the Greek word, means a permanent resident, not just someone that pops in and pops out again, or a travelling sojourner that drops in once every year or two. No, it's a permanent indwelling. Friends, doing life with Jesus is not an occasional connection, but an ongoing, abiding, personal relationship 24/7. Jesus wants to dwell in your hearts so He can bless every relationship and every endeavor of our lives. So it's not just for an hour or two on Sunday, yes? It's when you're at home with your family and when you're gathering with friends, when you're walking in your neighborhood. It's whether when you're at the cafe or at the pub or in the schoolyard or the shopping center, whether you're out taking for a walk or driving across town, whether you're studying for exam or some other endeavor, Jesus wants to be part and parcel of all of it. All of it. Every single thing. One of my mentors, Dr. Peter O'Brien, he wrote a massive commentary on Ephesians, and he writes this: if Christ has taken up residence in our hearts, He is the center of our lives and exercises His rule over all that we are and do. Whew! There's a lifetime of growth in that sentence, isn't there? Everything. No bits and pieces. It all centers in Jesus and comes under His rule and direction. And as Jesus lives in your heart, He brings His love and light into your life so that when people encounter you, they encounter Jesus. And perhaps you're wondering, how on earth is that possible? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you to bear the fruit of Jesus' character in your lives so that when people encounter you, they're encountering Jesus. Amen. Is that a good thing to pray for? I think it's fantastic. The second thing Paul prays for is for them to keep growing together in God's love. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, something that only God can do or God can reveal or God can work in us, together with all the Lord's holy people. It's a community thing, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. This word for power, here it's God's revelation to grasp something that is unfathomable, the incredible love of Jesus, the vastness of His love. He's not praying for them to love Him more. He's praying that His love might get inside them. Yeah? Because when that love gets inside us, it sets us free. It makes us new people. It releases us into God's plans and purposes for His world. Paul uses these four words. Often in Hebrew, the list of four is a list of completion, but note the dimensions. How wide, how deep, how long, how high and how deep. He's wrestling with language, but here's the thing. We can never plumb the depths of His love or scale its heights or completely comprehend its magnitude. Since the love of Christ is as vast as the universe, there is always more for us to discover and experience. Yes, there's always more. There's always more. Because his love is eternal and his love is always there, waiting to make itself known and incarnate in you and me. And Paul writes, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Interesting. Spiritual maturity is not measured by our amount of knowledge or Bible facts. As Paul writes in Corinthians, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Spiritual maturity is being secure in Jesus' love so we can serve and help and bless others. It's always going outward. It's dynamic. It's powerful. As Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I've loved you. And as my love goes to work in you, people will get to see me through how you guys connect and relate to one another. Well, finally, Paul ends his prayer by giving glory to God. This is often called doxology. Dox, glory, logos, words. Words of glory to God. Now, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, note the word power again, that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we cannot take credit or bring glory to ourselves for what God does in us and through us, because it's God doing it, yes? God's glory is revealed through his church as Christ lives in our hearts by faith, and his Spirit moves us to continue Jesus' work in his world. Amen? That brings glory to God. Now, reflection. I wonder how Paul's prayer might shape our prayers. See, Paul doesn't pray just for temporary blessings. Paul's prayers are always eternal blessings that focus in God's number one purpose for his world, that all might know Jesus, that all might do life with Jesus, that we might influence others for Jesus and inherit eternal life with Jesus. That's always the heart and center of Paul's prayers. And I think it's good if that becomes the heart and center of our prayers sometimes too. Yes? So, if you could bring up the next slide, please. I've got a little framework there based on these two things, and I'm going to invite you to spend a couple minutes praying for your loved ones using this as a framework. Father God, by the power of your Spirit, please open or strengthen the heart of your loved one so that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. Father God, help them to grasp more of your vast love for them in Jesus so they can live, share, and celebrate his love with others. We're just going to have a couple minutes just to pray. Use that for a framework to pray for your loved ones, because we've all got loved ones who are not walking with Jesus, and we've got loved ones who are walking with Jesus that we want them to get stronger, yes? So I deliver that to you and invite you to pray that for a couple minutes for the people you care about most. Well, my dear friends, the last word today from Paul: may God be glorified in his church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.